And welcome in to the Tuesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Doing all right. Thought I might be driving through snow. Not driving through snow, so I think everybody's going to have to go to school today would be my guess. Sorry.
Well, around here, you never know. Sometimes the threat of snow or sometimes they just look at it and say, yeah, why not?
That's true.
just cancel it.
That is true. I'm going to guess not today.
Probably not today.
But it'll happen soon. You're right. The theory of snow.
Yeah.
It's like Lane Kiffin. You know, I have a national championship team, but the idea of the better national championship teams I'll have at LSU, yeah, let's go do that.
It's alluding over there. Ian Safar, how we doing?
Oh, good morning, guys.
What's going on?
Yep, it was pretty clear on my way in. Nothing too crazy as far as drive. Another issue with the ESPN app last night. Tried to turn on the football game around 7:20. Oh, yeah, the game starts. Let me get that on my phone while I get the bath ready for the kiddos. Once again, nothing.
No dice, huh?
So, you know, I missed the first quarter to finally decide to kick on.
The app, not
the streaming app. It's driving me crazy.
That sucks, man.
Not Ian's friend.
How many apps? Are there any apps that work?
That's a good question.
Robbie and I were watching that the bowling alley last night.
We were. Yeah. We were at the George Plaster's bowling event. Mitch in Bellevue, loyal listener, was out there bowling like a 260.
Yeah. Shout out Mitch in Bellevue.
Going crazy, like one of the best bowlers I've ever seen. Mitch in Bellevue out there just getting it done.
Like his 260,
huh?
Dude, his whole lane, they were like, you know, it's like, you know, people are really good at bowling when they got that big hook, you know? Like I throw almost a screwball, like reverse spin going, you know, and I'm happy to break 100. These dudes are like with the heavy hook.
Oh yeah,
you start it. It's basically coming right on it's right at the edge of the gutter, and then it just comes back in. I mean, just it's like
a couple of them showed up with their own ball. That's when I knew we were in trouble.
Yeah,
I was like, oh boy.
Yeah, that's a big time. Right,
that's
there.
Not good.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. I shoot like if I can hit 150, I feel good about my game.
Oh yeah,
I don't even know if I've done that. Maybe once or twice. I'm 120. I hit 120 once of two. Broke 100 twice. Fine.
That's all good.
Yeah.
Shout out to Western Kentucky for my one credit hour of sports bowling.
Now we're talking.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's how you do it.
Gentry, who we're gonna have on later, also took bowling in college. He was on my lane last night. We were talking about that. Back then, you could just like go bowl and like smoke cigarettes and stuff. You know, in college.
Yeah that, we didn't
That's how they
any
do it down at UGA. That's how they do it in Athens.
And Bowling Green, they had like a little lane in the community center.
Yeah.
So we'd just go up there. I believe his name was Troy. Used to
Professor Troy?
Yeah, used to be on the circuit. So, yep.
Nice.
I keep hoping to run into a bowling alley, and this happened to me last night, but it wasn't exactly the Pete Weber I was looking for. Like I was looking, you know, walking in the bowling alley. Pete Weber. I saw Pete Weber last night. It was not the professional bowler. It's an absolute psychopath out there.
Another famous Pete Weber.
Yeah.
We need to get those Pete Webers together at some point.
We do.
You know?
We do.
That would be good.
Be a heck of a story time between the two of them.
No doubt.
We got a lot going on today on the program. Gentry, as Joe mentioned, will be with us at 7 o'clock. We got a lot of stuff to get into with him. We will get into Vanderbilt and the college football playoff. We're going to find out basically, I think, tonight, Joe, whether or not they're going to be in because, I mean, I guess – there's a chance that the committee next week could move things around and change their mind, but it kind of feels like if Vanderbilt's not in a good spot tonight, they're probably not going to be in a good spot this time next week.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, there's the idea of, okay, at the very end, now just but they should – first of all, they should be doing that every week. And, you know, Vanderbilt just added what should be a helpful data point. It's – I mean, there's a lot to that. It's like, does Tennessee fall out of the top 25? So essentially, you know, again, Vanderbilt doesn't get like credit for something that, you know, Vanderbilt put out we'll get into some of it. They put out a very good two-page campaign letter basically about why they should be in. And that's, again, I said it yesterday, like the history is – it has limitations, but no one does what they did to Tennessee in that stadium. I mean, I think that's something worth pointing out too, including, again, Georgia, Oklahoma, scratching out wins in that place, and Vanderbilt went in there and didn't, you know, and thumped them. That's something I would talk up a little bit too if I was them.
Yeah, no doubt. So we'll get into that a little bit later this hour. We'll get into Mark Stoops being fired by Kentucky. We didn't get into that much yesterday because of all the other stuff that's been swirling around out there, but we will get into that later in the show. I've got a Tennessee Vol quarterback hypothetical scenario I want to play out. And we'll get into Mike Borgonzi. I just wonder, if you'd have told him that things would play out this way, both with the team and the quarterback to this point before the season, what would his thoughts have been? We'll get into all that later in the show. But we begin on some comments from Jeffrey Simmons after the game on Sunday, a 25-3 loss for the Titans against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And Jeffrey Simmons, you know, a couple times this year has had some interesting post-game sessions. And I think back to, you know, basically the J.C. Latham stuff, and I know that he didn't come out and, like, outright say that after the game, but the Mike Silver report earlier in the year of him stopping practice and saying, hey, this ain't quite good enough. Let's get this stuff turned around. You know, a couple weeks ago, he's essentially calling out J.C. Latham after the game. And Sunday, the conversation, you could see basically an exasperated Jeffrey Simmons after the game that's tired of talking about all this stuff, but it got on the subject of leadership, you know, coaching moving forward, the culture around the Titans. Here's what Jeffrey Simmons had to say after the game on Sunday.
Arden alluded to some factor that he couldn't speak on that has, I guess, impacted either this game or the result. I imagine you don't want to speak on it either, but what can you say about maybe the attitude or environment around the team right now?
We need to figure something out. I mean, we got 5 games left for sure, but we got to figure it out. I mean, once we get through this season, I mean, we got to do a lot of self-reflecting. And whoever come in and be this head coach is, you know, we need somebody who's going to lead this football team. Yeah, I mean, that's it. We got to figure it out. I mean,
when you say you need somebody who's going to lead this football team, you feel
we'll like figure that out when the off season. But like I said, we got 5 more games, and like I said, hopefully we get somebody in here that, you know, the culture and everything have to be better around here, but we'll figure that out when we get to that. We got 5 more games left.
So what did you make of those comments from Jeffrey Simmons, Joe, who I think clearly at one point in that kind of stopped himself from saying more than he actually did there in that answer? What did you make of what Simmons had to say there?
Yeah, like you can definitely take that to frustration with Mike McCoy and what's going on. I think you could read into that some. It's probably like the same stuff we talk about. I'm sure the players are like guys, what are we're 1-whatever.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing? Also, I actually feel bad that no one informed Jeff there that like they are it's not just for sure. Like it is for sure. It is this, you have 5 games. There's no other game after the 5 games.
No, that's it.
You are actually mathematically eliminated from the playoffs.
Right,
so just
no
in case there was any, yeah, like that's gone. But, you know, I kind of agree with what Corey said yesterday, which is like, I think it's just a big picture frustration, and he's got to do, got 5 more games of this stuff, man. 5 more weeks, 5 more games. And, you know, when you talk about culture, what is the biggest, of course, culture can lead to winning, but if you have good players and win games, it's amazing how much better your culture is.
Oh, yeah.
Because people aren't pissed at each other because they suck, you know?
Yep.
I mean, that's like, that is if you're good at football and win football games, you can have some jerks in your locker room and it'd be fine. Culture will be fine. You guys are winning. Everybody's good. And then you're this bad. It's got to be really, really hard to have a good culture. It's just, you know, it's, and I understand a coach would say, no. It's culture that dictates that. And I'm going to say, I'm sure you're a great coach. I'm going to give you all crap players, and then you do all your culture stuff and then lose every week and tell me how good your culture is. It won't be good. I mean, people hate losing.
Yeah.
You know? Everybody here is a competitor. So I think that's what it is with you. I take it mostly as just a big picture frustration. But, yeah, it seems like McCoy just seems to be bothering everybody, not just Kaharski. Kaharski's not the only one who seems to be annoyed by McCoy.
No, it doesn't seem that way. And I can't help but go back and again, how much does this actually mean when it comes to, I mean, they're a 1-11 football team. So like you said, when you're this bad everything's wrong with your organization, right? But I did, you know, the first thing he starts talking about with the coach is, you know, nobody with the coach keeps talking about like, well, we need some great X's and O's guy coming in here. We need somebody that comes in and knows what he's doing. You know, Borgonzi, going back to his press conference, Jeffrey Simmons in that clip there. There have been other kind of inklings about it all throughout the organization of leadership. Like, we need a leader coming in here. And I mean, I guess you could take that as a Mike McCoy thing if you want to. I mean, I would include Brian Callahan in that as well. Like, it's pretty clear that everybody from Borgonzi to Simmons to I'm sure a lot of other guys in that locker room who, frankly, are not in the position that Simmons is in to be able to speak on some of this stuff, feel like this is a team that's basically been without leadership from the coaching position. And I don't know, it just keeps coming up over and over again from positions of power in this organization to the point where it's pretty hard to ignore that clearly they feel like there's been a lack of necessary leadership from the head coaching position, whether that's McCoy, whether that's Brian Callahan, whoever.
Yeah. Now the question, and I see some people are even writing about this out there, talking about it a lot, is like, you know, Have the Titans quit on Mike McCoy? And were the Titans ever like, let's win one for Mike McCoy?
I don't think so.
Yeah, again, I do not buy that. I do not buy that in pro sports. I really don't. I mean, I think you can have a stronger feeling for or against a coach or whatever, but again, these guys, you know, Simmons is not one of these guys. He's a guy who's a star, and he's, you know, going to be here next year, and he's going to be leading the way in whatever they do. But, like, these guys, I mean, most of the guys in the Tennessee Titans have plenty at stake personally right now in every week of what they're putting on film. So I just, you know, I think they're frustrated. I think they're bad. They were a terrible Sunday, so I understand the whole – I mean, I heard D-Mace yesterday, and he said they looked like they quit.
Yeah.
I do think it's got to be. It's like there's quit is a strong word. You get this late in the year, you know, it's got to be tough, right?
Well, in the backdrop of all this is they suck.
Exactly, and that's the thing. It's you get this late in the year, you're 1-11. Yeah, you're not. You don't like your interim coach. You're not. You don't think. But whatever. But like ultimately, isn't it just that? This that like everybody else along with this entire ride, it just feels like an endless slog.
So we'll take your thoughts on what Jeffrey Simmons had to say about the culture of the Titans, the leadership, what he's looking for in a head coach moving forward. We'll get into all that coming up next. Take your thoughts as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Joe, the conversation on the text line has very quickly shifted to Mike Vrabel.
Not us. Well, we didn't bring it up. You guys brought it up.
We did not even mention his name.
We've been sitting here to mind our own business trying to talk about your Tennessee Titans.
Wes in Clarksville said, depressing knowing Vrabel has more wins as Patriots coach than the Titans have had in three seasons. JD says, one thing I think we can all clearly agree on is that Vrabel was most definitely the issue. LOL, probably not. But he did need someone to help him keep him in check because he was terrible at hiring coaches. Lenny says, Patriots coach, pretty good leader. Maybe we can get somebody like him.
They showed him a lot on the sideline in stash last night's game. Strong. Show you that. I'll tell you that much.
What a lovely stash. Movember's over, Mike. Shave that thing. No, don't shave that thing. Vrabel. I mean, they're sitting here. So he's going to be coach of the year, right?
Well, it's going to be him. I mean, Ben Johnson is in the running right now.
Yeah, that's true. Ben Johnson would. I mean, I still think that reality's coming for them. Your Packers, we'll find out. Can they, you know,
hopefully accelerate?
Please
that.
Save us all, and start delivering reality. But yeah, that's
yeah. Vrabel's he's going to be in the mix.
And like I mean, look, they got Buffalo at home, at Baltimore, at the Jets, Miami at home. Like, I mean, the Buffalo game is massive. Like it's what is it them or the Broncos for the one seed in the AFC? Wild.
Yeah. Apparently, neither one of them could lose. So, I mean, the Broncos keep trying to lose, and they just don't.
God, I
thought they were going to get beat by Marcus the other night.
Yeah, no, they should have.
Marcus
been.
And Burks.
Yeah, exactly. Can't handle that combo. I mean, the AFC is like one of those two is going to get the one seed.
Yeah.
I mean, barring something pretty surprising here, and yet I don't really think either of them is that good.
Yeah.
I mean, New England is – I think more of New England than Denver. But maybe Denver's D is legit.
That's that. Maybe a hot take.
Yeah. Denver's D is legit for sure. Denver's D is great. I definitely think more of Drake May in that offense than I do of Bo Nix. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. War Eagle.
Yeah. Now Drake May is legitimately good. I should have figured that when we were talking about leadership as a coach, the conversation would immediately shift back to Vrabel.
Yeah.
Now moving, who's out there? Because I know people, when you start talking about the next head coach and leadership, like Saleh comes up immediately. And look, again, I don't necessarily hate the idea of Robert Saleh. And I understand he was with the New York Jets. So maybe you do just take his first part of his head coaching tenure and just wipe it completely clean because it's the New York Jets. And we've seen not only coaches with examples of that, but players that have been with the Jets that haven't done anything, that have gone elsewhere, that have played really well. Frankly, kind of similar to here when we're talking about that. I mean, Saleh's record's pretty bad with the Jets. So there is that, too, to keep in mind. How much of the New York Jets tax do we just give it? Is it just completely we don't pay attention to it at all because he's with the Jets? Or because Saleh, I think I'll put it to you this way. If the coaching process when this all started, when they fired Brian Callahan, if you would have told Titans fans that Robert Saleh was the guy they ended up with, I think a lot of people would have said, what? Robert Saleh? And I think as time has gone on and what he's done in San Francisco, people have really talked themselves into that being a pretty good outcome for the Titans.
But that's the thing. He's been my favorite. But he also might just be one of those guys who is just a great coordinator.
Yeah.
Like that happens. Talking about Lane Kiffin. The late Monty Kiffin, there's a guy who was always a great D coordinator. That's just what he was, you know? Like, everybody wants him to be their D coordinator. I think he was, like, the head coach of NC State in the early 80s. But other than that, that's what he was. So, and also the way Saleh handled – he definitely – some of the media stuff there with all that, and he's like, we're going to find out who the – it's like he did not handle some of the stuff that can come with this job. Now, that obviously – that media core, the massive New York media core, all that stuff, like it's more challenging than probably a lot of places because you have so many people, so many things to try to handle, get your arms around. But yeah, it wasn't a great look. He'd still be my favorite. I mean, there's interesting, Albert Breer, put out a little thing on the Titans coach. Did you see this?
No.
So he put out a thing the other day it was like a couple of graphs and talking about a lot of the usual suspects and McDaniel McCarthy and Nagy and all those guys. But he also said the Titans have at least discussed Jesse Minter, who of course is the D coordinator for Harbaugh, who was here at Vanderbilt under Clark Lea not long ago.
Yep.
Who at the time I was like, is this guy 17 years old? But good D coordinator, but also it's like, man, that would just to me be like quite a leap. It seems like, but he's done well as a coordinator. And
sure.
Then Chris Shula also. And again, these are very young guys who are kind of new on the scene. Kind of surprising to see those names. But at the same time, I mean, the discussion of candidates, to me it's like you should discuss a lot of people, and you should be open to different kinds of people.
Well, I mean, I guess that's if you're looking for a benefit of firing Brian Callahan when you did, if you're the Titans, it's you've had some time here to really piece together your coaching search if you're Mike Borgonzi and Chad Brinker and all those guys.
Yes, you have. Yeah. So now you could have spent that time courting Lane,
He could have
been up here that he was flying into. But
can you imagine?
I'd take back all the mean things I said about him. If he'd just come coach the Titans just for the entertainment value for the 2 years he'd be here before getting fired. But, they've had plenty of time.
With this owner, maybe not even 2 years.
Well,
it's like, wow, Lane was here for 6 weeks. Get fired.
Oh, God. Some of the stuff that's been coming out about Lane. Boy.
Yeah.
Don't go to the Ole Miss message boards if you don't want to think badly of him.
Stuff out there. One texter says, I just love how we've come full circle as a fan base. We wanted a coach that was anti-Vrabel and offensive head coach. And now that we see him with the Patriots, we want Vrabel 2.0.
Yeah.
That's how it goes in the NFL.
I will say, though, you know, and I use them as an example. You know, we haven't even, you know, you haven't even, like, you know, enjoyed or given us your love for Matt LaFleur. They have the Packers.
He did a great job last week.
Packers go and beat the Lions' ass on Thanksgiving, as I told you, as the Lions will not make the playoffs, as I told you all before the season.
You did.
I will say, great culture coach. Loses coordinator.
Talking about Dan Campbell.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's the example of if you start messing around at coordinator, it can – and there's other things, of course, with them. There's always things with talent and all that stuff. But, I mean, it is kind of a good reminder for people. And, again, that's where Vrabel seems to be in great shape because he's going to just have his OC locked in there. No one's going to try to give that dude a head coaching job ever again. But that is that's the thing. So, Saleh comes in here. If you love, like, the McDaniel thing with him.
Yeah.
Maybe that could, like, be a long-term thing because I don't know if McDaniel would be anybody's head coaching candidate, you know, anytime soon, you know, but that is the problem with the culture coach versus the play calling coach. You just have to make the right choice. And you also have to have, like, players who can play. That would help.
Let's head to our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Ryan to the program. Ryan, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
What's going on, guys?
What's up?
Hey, last night, Robbie is definitely the better bowler than Joe, I think.
Wow.
Were you
watching me bowl?
A little bit. Not much, but a little bit. But Robbie can throw it down there and get a strike, you know, just about every time.
Okay. Well, that's definitely not true, but that's okay.
Yeah, because I saw you got a 128, right? Which
yeah.
was good.
Yeah.
I mean, I got a 127 on the same game.
Well, by that
you
math,
beat me, technically.
Look, it's hilarious that we're talking about either one of us being good at bowling when I threw out Mitch at Bellevue earlier. Just like, he was just rolling strikes every time out there.
He's laughing at all of us.
Is it too early to talk to draft?
I mean, at this point, probably not. It's December, so I guess we're getting there.
My ideal draft class for the first three picks for the Titans, trade down and get a good defensive end, Jeremiah Love, and then get Chris Brazzle, the UT wide receiver. They need playmakers on offense bad. I mean, if they need leader, they need young leadership for sure, if we're talking leadership like Jeffrey Simmons is talking about. So, they need young leadership bad, if you ask me. So,
yep. Thank you, Ryan.
Last night. So, have a good one, guys.
Appreciate you,
thanks,
man.
Ryan.
Yep. Well, they need a lot of things. I think that's the overriding theme with this team right now.
It is funny that he mentioned that, though, because Gentry and I, as I said, we're on the same lane, and he mentioned that if there's some sort of trade down, Jeremiah Love. I mean, I'm not the running back thing.
I don't hate it.
Yeah, like, dude, that dude's going to be good in this league.
615-737-1025, our phone number. God, we've gotten back to the Titans need Vrabel 2.0 and get a dominant running back in there.
There we go.
How quickly things come back to reality here for the Tennessee Titans. So we'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans. We will get into the college football playoff rankings coming out tonight. That is coming up next. Where does Vanderbilt stack up? And is tonight when we're going to find out whether they're in the college football playoff or not. We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. We got Gentry Estes from the Tennessean coming up at 7 o'clock. We got a lot of stuff to get into with Gentry, so looking forward to that conversation a little bit later in the program. Taking your thoughts, Jared on the YouTube chat says, if the Titans wait until the third pick to get a wide receiver, I may gouge my eyes out with a spoon. That's from Jared on the YouTube chat. Protect the eyes. It's all going to be okay. Yeah, but I tend to agree. Like, I think wide receivers should be pretty high.
It should be. But playmaker. Think of it in terms of playmakers, okay? You know, you could think of that in terms of tight ends.
Sure.
Not to get our listeners who continue to still talk about Brock Bowers excited and riled up, but I'm just saying they're playmakers. Skill players who make a difference and shift a defense and change the, you know, like they don't have anyone. They have a guy in DK who obviously as a special teams guy for sure is that, and we'll see at receiver. But I'd say at any of those positions where you have the ball in your hands, playmakers.
Well, by the way, can I make something else I think pretty clear? And I've seen others talk about this. I saw Blake Bedingfield talk about this, and I've kind of felt this way for a while. But the idea earlier in the year that it's like, well, just find your number one because your number two and your number three wide receivers are taken care of in DK and Io Manor. No, they're not. Io Manor is not he's like a number four receiver.
Yeah.
Which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But he's like this idea earlier in the year that's like, just feed Io Manor because he's going to be like your wide receiver two. Like, no, he's not.
No, probably not. I mean, he's a rookie. He's been hurt. You've seen some stuff from him. Like,
I'm not trying to pile on him or anything.
I mean, I think he could be better than a number four receiver, but we'll see. In the meantime, yeah, I mean,
I guess
you have to get a one.
If you think you're set, you just need one guy because you've got everything else figured out with those two, no.
No, I agree. I mean, I think you need to draft a number one guy. And then, like, after that, it's kind of like, you know, it'd be great, you know, if somewhere later in the draft, but there's so many other needs. You know, free agency, you can get yourself another, you know, you can get yourself a 3-4 in free agency any year,
yeah.
Right? Just have to like make right choices and not bring in guys who turn out to be past. Like, it's incredible how often this happens here. It's like, oh, actually that guy didn't have much left, and then then they go somewhere else and
right. They
actually do have something left, and they make ridiculous catches and stuff like that. But that's just sort of what's happening with the Tennessee Titans:
ridiculous catches, and then get up and don't get hurt.
Yeah, just run back to the sideline. Yay, I'm good.
Wow, pretty healthy out there,
Marcus,
after making that catch.
You're amazing.
Good stuff. Let's head to our phone line. Welcome in Tim to the program. Tim, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, morning, guys. You know, I think the Titans are a really bad team. And I guess the Patriots are okay. And, we like to compare ourselves against the Patriots right now. They're having a great year. But I think context matters. And the Patriots have, like, the easiest schedule I've ever seen in my life. And just going through it, they just last night played their ninth team with a record under 500. They also have two more still. They're going to end up with 11 games played against teams under 500. Now, the Patriots were bad last year, so they should have an easy schedule, right? But how did the Titans get so unlucky? They have only played two teams with a record under 500 to this point. They're 1-1 in those games. They should have two more with the Browns and Saints, so we'll see. But, man, what if the Titans and Cam Ward had that Patriots schedule this year? I wonder if the discourse, the conversation would be the same about how bad the team is and how bad Cam Ward has looked all year. And if it was reversed, if Drake May would be looking the same against a bunch of the teams that we've had to play this year.
Yeah, thanks for calling,
Tim. You did see the Patriots come in here and beat the Titans 31-13, right? I mean, he's right that we were talking about this during a break. Like, they have had an incredibly easy schedule. They also won at Buffalo. They also won at Tampa Bay. And they are way, way, way better than the freaking Tennessee Titans.
Well,
the Tennessee Titans suck. Can we all agree on this?
The Patriots are good. How good are they? I don't know, right? Like,
yeah.
They very well could end up getting the number one seed in the AFC. And are they that good? I don't know that they're that good. But
no, I don't think they're number one seed good. No.
The schedule is what it is. Like, there's no doubt. They've had an easy schedule. Look, the Titans, some of the Titans' schedule also comes back to bad luck. Like, it's bad luck that Indianapolis is pretty good, that Jacksonville has turned out to be pretty good, right? Like, it's just part of the luck in the NFL. Now, I would also say, the Titans have played the Raiders, who are – functioning without a pulse out there.
Who beat the Patriots,
and
by the way.
Somehow beat the Patriots in week one. But they lost that game. And again, like the one game the Titans have won, it took almost a divine miracle for that to happen.
So, yeah, so it wouldn't be
frankly, I don't think it matters who the Titans play
exactly.
Right now.
Now, would it be different on the Patriots if they didn't have a last-place schedule? Yeah, I'm sure it would be. Would it be different for the Titans? No. No, it would not be different.
The Browns suck, and I think we're getting ready to see that's not going to go well for the Titans.
Right. I mean, like, to your point, Jags – teams in the Colts in this division are better than we thought. Even if they were about what we thought, they'd still beat the Titans. It just maybe wouldn't be 25-3. It'd be like 18-6. It's just like there's no spinning like what the Titans are. They are there. But I agree. The Patriots are little bit of a paper tiger. I think the Broncos are a little bit too, and it's going to be one of those two as the one seed. And then, like, is it the Bills? Is it the Chiefs? Is it the Ravens that's going to go into one of those places and win? I mean, that's what I expect.
I mean, the more this continues to shake out, the more I think that you may end up being a genius and that the Ravens just find their way through here after starting 1-5.
They could. I mean, I just watched them the other night get destroyed at home by the Bengals, so I don't know.
Burrow back in there giving them some juice.
That does matter. I guess it's
– Lamar looks off.
Yeah, well, he's killed my fantasy team. Both of my fantasy leagues have just fallen apart. I think I didn't even look. I assume I didn't make the playoffs. Oh, I killed Karski.
No, I think you made the playoffs.
I did make the playoffs with that crap
team?
I think
your son lost, and that helped you.
Oh, good. Well, he beat me, which really pissed me off. All right, let's go, Lamar. But seriously, Lamar, he has been off. Like, it's been bad. Why?
Robbie and I are in line for a bye week, so see if that holds up in the fantasy football league.
Bully for you.
Yeah, bro.
Hey, you're in last place in picks.
By the way, it's
going
to hold up. Yeah. I ain't lost but one time all year.
One time?
Yeah, it's going to hold up.
You beat me like a point, dude. I'm going to get you in the playoffs. I can't believe I'm in the playoffs. I'm so excited.
Liam says, we're not that far away, guys. We just need a left tackle, a right guard, a wide receiver one, a couple great corners, an edge rusher or three, maybe a right tackle, a head coach that can change the culture, and a new owner. This is from Liam.
Hey!
Text line. What? Other than that, it's going well.
Got a new stadium, though.
It's true.
New stadium. Going to get a Super Bowl.
Here's a great question that, you know, is kind of sums up where the Titans are right now. Jared from Spring Hill on the text line. Will Myles Garrett have more sacks than the Titans have points on Sunday? I tend to lean yes.
Good God. So what is he at, 19? What does he need, like three to set the 2.5, three? Set the
record's 22.5.
And he's 19.
He is, I believe, at 19, but I will double
check. Just 19
that.
Even?
He's at 19 even.
Okay, so he needs four sacks.
Yeah, he needs four.
He's got a shot.
He's probably got a shot.
He's got a shot. I mean, that's
I mean, wouldn't
good.
That kind of be fitting for the Titans with the way things have gone with the offensive line is to you need to be the team that gives up the single-season sack record? I think it probably adds up.
Yeah, it adds up. Yeah, no. He's got a real shot. No, that's Yeah, again, the Browns are bad, and I mean Shador has been okay, but the offense isn't doing a lot. Obviously, we're gonna have the Shador Cam thing, but I don't think they're going to do much against the Titans offensively. Not because the Titans are great; I just don't think the Browns are good on offense. But yeah, 3 points for the Titans. Like, I mean, no touchdowns for the Titans. It's on the table.
Oh, it's 100%. On the table. And, you know, as multiple people have brought up on the text line, you know, we keep talking about all these positions and playmakers, and I agree with everybody throwing it out there that they need wide receivers and running backs. But you know what the scary truth may end up being, and I don't know that you can address it this year. I mean, they very well may need to, in the not-too-distant future, circle right back around to offensive tackle on the offensive line. Be that left tackle, be that right tackle, be that both. I don't know what that means right now.
I know it's incredibly depressing, and it will be infuriating if and when it happens. But, yeah, I Dan Moore's short-term anyway. Like, you knew that kind of anyway. But, like, if Latham doesn't turn it around, then, yeah, I mean, really, you're talking about two tackles that you're in pretty short order going to need to find. I mean, it's unbelievable, but it is true.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We will get into the college football playoff coming next. I think Titans fans needed to vent a little bit there. So we're glad we provided an outlet for that. We'll get into Vanderbilt coming up next. Gentry Estes at 7 o'clock. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. The college football playoff rankings coming out tonight. We'll see where Vanderbilt lands. Joe, it feels like if they don't make significant progress in tonight's rankings, that the college football playoff is probably a pipe dream at that point. I mean, I guess there's the chance that they get to the end of conference championship weekend next weekend and they just reevaluate everything and move things around after that. But I would find that to be unlikely. And frankly, as you pointed out earlier, it should not be the way that it goes. So we'll see what that looks like. But it kind of feels like tonight is when we're going to find out whether or not Vanderbilt's got a legitimate shot to be in the college football playoff. What do you think about that? How do you expect the rankings to go tonight? I mean, I would assume that the Tennessee wins at least enough to pass Utah. And then we'll see after that.
Yeah. You know, it's – unless they – I mean, I think Vanderbilt's done a good job of making its case. You know, I know that, like, you know, Candace Lee talked yesterday. I think so. Clark Lee has talked. He's been out there. That's what you got to do. If you're any of these teams, you got to be out there. Clark Lee's been out there. Candace Lee's been out there. I think Clark Lee's doing something today also. And they put out a little fact sheet, which I thought was good. And made one of the points that I've made, and I think that they seized on it, and it's a good point to make, which is, I think I've probably talked about this probably many times, but I've done the basketball mock thing where they have media come in and do the mock thing. And absolutely the conversation when you get to some of these teams around the bubble, you look at, do they have a great player who can elevate the team, who can carry a team to a win? You're trying to find teams who can win in the tournament. And obviously it just isn't apples to apples, right? When we're talking about basketball and football, but Pavia is that guy. Pavia has been used against them in the, I think it was Mac Rhodes still. Yep. When, people were asking earlier about Notre Dame and Vanderbilt. And I think Topmeyer asked a question and wrote the column that basically helmet scouting is helping Notre Dame be ranked ahead of Vanderbilt. And, Mac Rhodes is like, they certainly, basically Pavia is carrying a bad team. Whereas, again, when they talk about some other teams, they talk about, this quarterback, it's just a great quarterback. This is part of a great team, But look, Vanderbilt's arguably the number one offense in college football, number one in yards per play, number one in points per drive. Yards per play is if there's one stat that you, because it takes out tempo and everything, it's just how effective are you? Yards per play, number one in the country.
Yep.
7.54 yards per play, which is an absurd number. Again, against the schedule they played, some of the teams they played end up not being good. Even teams, some of the teams they play weren't that good, like LSU and Auburn, have really good defensive numbers in the SEC. It's a legit offense. So that's some of the case they make. But again, it's just and Vanderbilt's making the case on this thing, that they started out unranked and some of that stuff. I don't know how important that really is. If you really look at it, Vanderbilt in the AP poll got up to number 9 this year.
Yeah.
Then they lost a couple games. I mean, so Vanderbilt shot up into the rankings quickly enough, and then you lose those games, and then you fall down a little bit. I mean, I think that there's some helmet scouting. There's some natural bias that comes into this. I'm sure with some of those committee members are like, Vanderbilt. Also, I think SEC, I think for some people, they don't like the SEC. And so I think there's a natural tendency to also be like, anytime an SEC team can get left up, people are like, good. In the Big Ten country, it's like, yes, leave out an SEC team. So they've got that going against them. But again, they also have some realities of their resume against teams ahead of them.
They do. I mean, look, I think it's going to be a tough hill to climb. There's going to, in order for them to get in, it's going to require, I think, the committee to do a deeper dive on Vanderbilt than they've done to this point, to be quite frank with you. And are they going to do it? I don't know. They should. They should really take a look. I mean, look, the way they came in and just absolutely thumped Tennessee should matter. And I know at the end of this, I guess we'll see tonight, but at the end of this, Tennessee may not end up being a ranked win for Vanderbilt. But I think we know, Tennessee's a good team. They're not a great team, but they're a good team. I mean, they should have beat Georgia. They should have beat Oklahoma, and I know you can play the shoulda game a lot in college football, but as you pointed out earlier, walking into Neyland Stadium and winning by the margin Vanderbilt won by, a really, really tough thing to do in today's college football.
Yeah, it should change them. It should make people stand up and notice, and you just hope it doesn't turn into, all along Tennessee was just bad, and actually they're 8-4 and they haven't had any good wins. And this gets into, I watched the Tennessee-Georgia game. I know that's not true. Shoot, I watched the Tennessee-Alabama game. And Alabama, I mean, Tennessee and Vanderbilt both screwed up those games with huge mistakes, huge turnovers, I mean, I think they both can play with that Alabama team without question. Tennessee, we saw them play with that Georgia team that's going to be potentially a top four seed,
yep.
That's what you have to get into. If you want to simplify it and just say top 25 wins, all that stuff, resume, okay, you can. And if that's the case, then they're going to come up short. But it seems like there's some look at how this team is playing. How could you leave them out when they look at Notre Dame? If you're going to play that game, then you should play that game with Vanderbilt.
Yeah. Well, yeah, absolutely. And but as we've seen with this committee, it's from explanation to explanation, from team to team, the requirements seem to shift and are different. And that's not a Vanderbilt thing. That's a college football playoff committee thing that's been a thing for a long time.
Yeah. Yes. So. Yeah, no, for sure. So, yeah, you really, it just comes down to you hope those people – look, these people, they do watch games. They do break down film. It's fun to make fun of it, actually. But, like, they have coaches on the committee, you know, former coaches on the committee. Like, this idea that they just show up and, that's not true. They spend a lot of time on it. Well, you need to, you spend time really talking through Vanderbilt. Everybody's making their case right now. I mean, look, if it's just your general college football fan and that mattered at all, my God, the difference between having to watch Oklahoma in this playoff and getting to watch Vanderbilt in this playoff, it's a big difference. I also think there are people just out there in general, again, who have this Vanderbilt, you know? I mean, they are as fun to watch as any team, and it stinks to think that they're not going to be in this thing. But, yeah, it'll be a bit of an earth shaker if they're actually in position tonight when those rankings come out.
You know what would really help in this discussion? If we weren't just handing a spot to Tulane, that'd be great.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's too bad. That's the breaks. You know what's funny is if Duke beats Virginia.
Oh, God.
It's Tulane. But then also I think James Madison gets in because the ACC won't even have a champion ranked high enough to get into the freaking playoff. What are you going to do with two group of five teams? But the thing is, like, I think that both of those teams could beat Duke. You know, I mean, that's the sad reality. I mean, you're locked into some things. Yeah, like, I'm not listening to any, like, the group of five needs to be part of it. If the playoff is this big, it has to be.
Why?
Because college football is.
Are they good enough or are they not?
How much has college football screwed itself with this? With everything that's gone on and trying to condense it and trying to give less opportunity. Okay, give opportunity.
Well, be good enough to earn the opportunity. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like there have been plenty of examples over the years, whether it's undefeated Boise State teams, one loss, really good teams, there have been group of five teams out there where you can make that argument. There's not that team this year. It does not exist.
Well, actually the team that I think could come into this thing and actually potentially win games at South Florida, but they screwed it up.
Exactly.
Yeah. Them's the breaks. I mean, I hear what you're saying, you know, but I think that's always got to be part of the
field. We've just lost it on this, though. Like, it's the expansion of the playoff should have been to give them a chance because we all knew that the 4-team, they were never getting in. It doesn't matter if they went undefeated. It doesn't matter. Well, mm-hmm. With a 12-team, and we're eventually going to get bigger, and we know that, you've got a shot to play your way in. But you shouldn't just be handed a spot. You shouldn't just be handed a spot. And this year is a perfect example of why. Because there's no team out there in the group of five that is worthy of a playoff spot this year. Not one.
I will again go to basketball, which is
– completely different.
Yeah, but it's 68 spots and 31 are auto bids. And, you know, then you take the power leagues out. And so it's like 25 teams out of the 68 are teams just like you're saying. Some of them are good enough. Some of them aren't. But they get those spots. And that's how it should be.
Well, Gentry Estes from the Tennessee. I feel like we're going to be arguing about this for like a year. Gentry Estes from the Tennessean coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on Vanderbilt, get his thoughts on where Tennessee goes from here. I guess we'll get his thoughts on the Titans, too. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.